Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hey, everybody. Hello, Weirdsville. It's the What's Your Weird Story podcast with your host, Barry Johnston, and me, Adam Beebe. How's it going, Bear?
Really good, man. How are you?
I am doing all right. We have had a bit of a... two stutter starts there now, trying to get this introduction part out. The first time was me. My brain wasn't working. You told me about three or four times we were recording and ready to go. Give me the thumbs up, but I just kind of spaced out. But then I started talking, and then, of course, we had a technical glitch. So but that's probably good. That'll kind of keep us from being too long-winded We got a pretty long-winded introduction.
Yeah, that's true.
Before we get to the story.
Yeah, that's right.
Particular episode anyway.
That's right.
But before we get to even that long-winded introduction, man, how are you doing?
Very good, sir. Busy, as always, man. But I do want to give a shout out to my son and the Garber Wolverine basketball team. They made it to the state
Wolverines.
Yeah, man. They made it on there. They made it to the state tournament in basketball. So
fantastic. Proud of them.
You know, we got beat in the first round, but it was good. We had a good season.
The big thing in Oklahoma's football, as we will discuss shortly, but also sports in general. I mean, there's amazing high school wrestling programs at the smallest schools all around. Oklahoma is just an incredible, one of the best states to produce wrestlers.
Yeah.
Greco-Roman style and freestyle, legitimate, not the professional entertainment type, which I love too, by the way, but still.
Yeah.
But basketball, man, basketball is surprisingly big there. I mean, it's tough, and you got all these little towns that are like just lock, stock, and barrel. They may not be big enough to have like a football team, but they'll have basketball.
Yeah.
And they'll have like really, really hardcore basketball, tough basketball team. So for them to get in there, so getting to state is an honor enough.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. People go crazy. It's about small town sports in this part of the world. So
it sure is, dude.
So it was great, man. We had a good season. But what have you been up to, man? I saw that you were we've been working on merch.
Merch coming out. We've got the spreadshirt.com store that you can go and get your official t-shirts printed on demand there. And that's good because we don't have to do pre-order stuff. You go there, you pick out the shirt that you like, the design that you like, the color that you like, and then you just pop it in and pay. And it's great.
That's cool. That's great.
And it's good quality shirts and good, you know, and not just shirts, there's hoodies and totes and other stuff too. So it's really cool.
Perfect, man. So if you want to help us out, want to sport some of our swag, you know, do that and it'll help. So
yeah, we're not making a lot of money off of this. We're just trying to spread the word. It gives me an excuse to make cool t-shirt designs. Being an artist, and that's what I love, and got a couple up, and we're keep adding more, and I'll try not to do too many at one time so that we don't, you know, you don't spend all your money on our cool t-shirts and hoodies and such. Great awesome. Gifts, all that stuff, and that's something to look forward to that I've been working on, and you know, I've got the secret project that I'm going to out and later on and with the interview and Jeremy that we've been discussing. And also I've got a couple of art shows that I'm trying to produce some work for to get done here shortly. So, I've been keeping busy and, you know, and working part time as well and trying to keep my head above water and just, you know, enjoy life and eat some Oreos and whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah, man, for sure. And and talk to cool people and friends.
Yeah, dude.
When we get the chance, and that leads us to our guest. He's an old friend of yours.
Yep.
And I had met Jeremy a couple of times, man, but I don't know him real well. But he's great. He was really just a great guest and a great person. And you know, we had a real nice pre-chat. And yeah, so you know, looking forward to what he has to offer.
All right, friend Barry joining us today is another old friend of mine, Mr. Jeremy Fuchsa. He comes from, he originates there north of us in Hennessy, and we still like him, even though he's there from Hennessy. we've always had the big Kingfisher Hennessy rival, and that was I don't know, Jeremy. Back in the day, did you guys hate us as much as we hated you?
You know, yeah. It really was one of those. It's funny. Like, I had not thought about that at all until you just started bringing that up. But yeah, I mean, that was a total thing. I mean, what, we were like 20 miles away from each other. You know, not super far. But yeah, I mean, there was all sorts. I remember. I think the first time I remember that little small town rivalry was a thing, I was probably in middle school at some point, and some of the Yellow Jacket football players had come up to Hennessy, and they had written they had just beat us pretty badly in football, and after the game in under cover of night, they drove up and they wrote the final score on the football field with gasoline. The score was there pretty much the entire season.
Yeah. Wow. I remember there being donuts being cut in the end zone by Hennessy. I don't know what it was, but it was like some deal where they pegged it on somebody from Hennessy. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that in a long time.
I absolutely remember
the gasoline story. I remember hearing that. And it's all high school football rivalry, which is like the biggest religion in Oklahoma. You know, Friday night church and then Sunday church, you know. I mean, really, like small towns, but it's like hardcore, like in, you know, like Texas Friday Night Lights hardcore.
Yeah.
And so like the bitter rivalry between our two hometowns is just, I'm sure there are other towns that have their legendary rivalries too, but man, ours were like, we just like, boy. And then you find yourself friends with somebody from Hennessy, or I think Barry, did you date a girl from Hennessy for a while?
I did, man.
And it's almost like wow. Like,
yeah, you're dating the enemy, man. Yeah, but that's the weird thing.
It's almost like they're people.
Yeah, that's the weird thing is that, like, because I remember going to a swimming pool at some point in time, a swimming party in Hennessy, and one of the rival, you know, football players was there, and it was like, you know, a big ado about nothing, you know what I mean? And then you get to know people as you get older, and you're like, dude, we hated you so much, you know, and it's, you know, it's hilarious now. But
it's a perfect vehicle for petty vandalism. I mean, it really is. What, and I have no idea if that kind of thing still continues to this day, but it certainly was, you know, pretty hot from at least the 70s to the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, and the funny thing is I used to spend almost every Sunday after church there in Hennessy at either the Parker House or Wong's. My grandparents lived in Marshall, and so it was halfway between Kingfisher and Marshall, or pretty close. So we go right there to Hennessy, and we'd have lunch, and that was like a Sunday tradition for years and years and years and years. And it wasn't just our family, it was like extended family. I know, Barry, you went to with us a couple of times to Parker House at least. So and their chicken fried steak.
Whew. Yep.
Yeah. Mm. Cinnamon rolls and
oh yeah, dude. Yeah. So anyway, I've I've known Jeremy for quite a long time. And
yeah,
actually, our friendship is how we became friends is kind of a weird story. You and my brother are the same age, and yep. I think he may be a year older than you, but you graduated the same year.
Yes, that's right.
But you guys were friends and had been mm-hmm. friends in high school, and then yep. You and I met when I was going in to be a freshman in high school, and you were being a freshman in college.
Yeah,
we met at church camp, Day Spring Church Camp.
That's true.
We were in the same group, and. Yeah. I knew that you're my brother's friend, but you and I just like clicked, man. Like immediately, you know, we had a lot of commonality and it was really cool. And that's, you know, we became friends and I've been to, you know, your weddings and, you know, and just, you know, been friends, lifelong friends. And it's really cool.
That's true. That's true. You were just that smidge weirder than your brother. And that just, you know, that was that fit me a little bit more.
That's hilarious. That's great.
It's true. But yeah, man. So yeah, you've also, to the listeners at home, Jeremy's been a huge support behind the scenes. He's helped us out. He's done several podcasts on his own, and we'll get him to mention those after. Yep. But he's been a huge technical support to us who are complete noobs at this particular kind of thing. So I've gone to him several times and been like, "Hey, what do I do about this?" When first starting, I'm like, "Hey, I want to start a podcast. You do podcasts. Tell me what to do." Basically,
what microphone should I buy?
And exactly. Like all this stuff, and you were like, oh, and you were, you know, but you set me on the right path, and you continue to help us out with your generosity, and we appreciate that.
Oh, so. absolutely.
So yeah, so now that we've got that rather lengthy introduction for the man who needs no introduction.
Oh, thank you.
So Jeremy, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Well, you know, you guys sparked a memory in me. Gosh, it was one of the early episodes where you guys were talking about the crazy lights in Weatherford, I believe. That was. That is not the only place that those lights have been in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And so, you know, as you were talking about them and you were describing the way they moved and the color combinations and everything, it made me remember that I had seen those lights too. And they were closer up to Enid, our common friend of ours, Adam. I was hanging out with Devin DeBach. We, you know, had been to Enid for the evening and we were headed back to his house to take him home. And we were driving along and, you know, driving along a dirt road, as so many Oklahoma stories start. We're driving along and we see these curious lights and we think, oh, you know, okay, so that's an airplane landing at Vance Air Force Base, because there, you know, there's an Air Force Base there in Enid and it's a training base, and so they're doing, you know, jet training day and night. And so, you know, it's one of those things that you really just don't think anything of. You say, oh, there's some more lights in the sky, kind of flying low. Sure, it's, you know, it was right about the place where they could be, you know, making some sort of a low descent into landing.
Yeah, a lot of farmland.
Yeah,
a lot of farmland out there in that area. It's very flat, and you definitely would see a lot of daytime, nighttime. Always see a lot of jets flying around as they're doing their training there. So it's especially Hennessy to the Hennessy area. It's up to Enid, not so much further south than like towards where we were in Kingfisher, but definitely right there up there top in your area. So
yeah, and this definitely was kind of in a runway pattern area. So yeah, it wasn't anything that we were thinking of at first, but as we were driving along, we kind of noticed that it was coming in as you would normally see, but then it just slowed down in a way that seemed very unnatural, and then we noticed that it stopped. And we're like, okay, that's really weird. It wasn't super close. It had gotten pretty much into the area where it was almost to the Air Force Base. And so it slowed down and it stopped and then we decided that we needed to stop. So we stopped the old brown pickup truck and hopped out and sat on the back of the bed. And so we're just watching this thing. And, you know, and so it had stopped and it was hovering there in the sky. And then it kind of slowly moved over a little bit. And then we started noticing that that as it was standing there, then a couple of lights came up, and I'm going to assume at this time that these were possibly helicopters from Vance or something like that, you know, because they were like spotlights, right? Mm-hmm. And they're kind of coming up and they're looking around in that area, and it hung, and then it moved a little bit, and then they moved a little bit, and then it moved, you know, and we're endlessly entertained by this. And this probably went on for about 15-20 minutes before, kind of exactly like in the way that your story went, it was there for a little bit and then it just went zip and was gone.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're like, well, we just saw something interesting.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
And it was really, really weird that, you know, it was another one of those things. I hadn't really thought about it a whole lot since then, but it was almost identical to the story that you guys told so many episodes ago. And I was like, oh, dude, I totally saw that too.
How far away were you from it, Jeremy? Do you remember?
I would say probably by the time it had slowed down and was kind of floating, it was probably more in the Waucomas area. Mm-hmm. So that let's put that about 3 miles away from Enid. So we were probably about 3 to 5 miles away from it. So it was, you know, not huge, but it was still distinct. We could still see that red light and the green light, you know, we could still see the pattern and the mixture of those lights. And yeah, you know, but as we first saw it, it was probably right overhead. And so, you know, it was definitely, or at least it seemed to us, not huge, but it looked like something was coming in really low because you could just see the details of the light, how the bulb has that brighter center or different things like that. You could definitely see the details of the lights, the green and the red and then when it slowed down. So it was pretty trippy.
Wow.
And it was quite a memory to take me down there. It was pretty wild.
Did you? I have a similar story to that. In that, it was the same sort of looking aircraft.
Huh?
And we were on 81 north of Kingfisher, and it was my dad and I, and this thing was hovering over the road, and I remember it was like the red and green lights, and the thing just it stopped right over the road, and it was probably 30-40 feet above us, and we slowed down to like a crawl, and we opened the windows down. There was no sound whatsoever coming from this thing, and it was just sitting there above us. That's not too terribly far. I mean, that's probably 30
it's still
miles
in the area.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's still,
yeah,
well, and I mean,
it's still very close.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I would still even consider, you know, Weatherford. I mean, if you started kind of, you know, plotting this on a map.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost like it's in its own triangle or something like that.
Right.
You know, it's pretty trippy. Did it seem, because to us it seemed like whatever these lights were attached to was probably round.
That's what I thought.
You know.
And I actually talked to my dad about that just to make sure that my memory was not faulty in that way, and he 100% confirmed it. And we haven't spoke to each other since that time, and I was about 10 years old at that time. Of the subject, yes. I had spoken to him since, but
it came out funny, sorry.
Yeah, so it just kind of hung out, and then as we went home, this thing went out over, we lived by a creek, and it kind of just hovered and creeped over the creek, the tree line, and then at a certain point, and this is a good few minutes, I'm going to say, you know, maybe 10-15 minutes total. At a certain point, it just took off. And, I mean, it was like there and then it's gone.
Wow.
Yeah. And he had got on the phone with the sheriff to have them check to see. Because, you know, back then, he had to go home to call somebody. So we go home, we call the guys. And they're like, yeah, no airplane, no aircraft in the area that we can see on radar. They didn't know of anything. It was just weird. It was strange.
Mm-hmm. That is strange.
Yeah. So I don't know if maybe we saw something similar or not, but it kind of sounds like a similar deal, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, all of those stories all just they match up at least to a certain degree to where it is plausible to me that whatever this is was, either the same thing or of a same type,
mm-hmm. right.
You know, one of multiple things that were similar. Yeah. So, yeah, it's quite something to think about, especially, I mean, the area, I mean, there's just nothing out there.
Yeah.
Right.
So what is it?
Yeah. Because you also, being out there and growing up in the country like you guys did, or partially in the country like I did, you know what the night sky looks like, mm-hmm. Without the light pollution, so you know what a shooting star meteorite looks like, you know what a satellite looks like, so you know what most of these odd cosmological things that could be, so that's why, I remember the first time I saw a satellite being really excited and thinking it was a UFO because it was just a dot that just was hauling ass across the sky in a straight line. And then somebody's dad was like, nah, that's just a satellite. Very dismissive. And I'm like, oh, crestfallen. But, later on, I got to see plenty, so...
Yeah, that that sounds pretty much like the first time that I thought that I saw something like that was down in the Kingfisher area. We were camping out. Scout troop was camping out, and it was one of those campouts where we didn't use tents. We just had this gigantic tarp that we laid out in a field, and everybody was camping on this. And we saw lights, moving in the sky, and at first you're like, that's just an airplane. But then it didn't move just from left to right or whatever. It moved, and then it maybe moved back a little bit. But it didn't move in any. I've seen. Helicopters and airplanes and things like that moves like that since. And so, but when we were, 10 or however old we were like, oh, sweet, check it out,
Yeah.
And then of course that freaked us out just enough to where nobody really wanted to go to sleep. but plus also you never knew what was going to, crawl across us and decide to, bed on our bellies or whatever. That's always a good time.
The best.
Yeah. Which I've heard that there are mountain lions around there now.
Yeah.
And also Bigfoot apparently.
That's right. Yeah.
Shan saw a couple episodes back, one of our guests was a few years ago, I think he said 2011. He saw a family of, or at least two of what he speculates to be at least three, of Bigfoot down just on the bed of Kingfisher Creek, just inside Kingfisher.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that yet. I got to catch up then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Dang.
That is a really good one. He does a really great job describing it because he tells it really well because he's told it a lot. And he said this is a life-changing event, and you can tell. You can tell. Yeah. So
and we never really had any Bigfoot stories that I can think of coming from our area when we was growing.
Not growing up. Of course, now we hear it because down in Concho, and then there's all that stuff that down in Concho and all that stuff. Well, there's a lot more going on that apparently we didn't know about.
Yeah. Cool stuff.
That's pretty crazy, man. I remember. The very first UFO I saw, and it was probably nothing, but I just remember seeing it. It was my dad and I just got home from the grocery store, and it was just past the golden hour of dusk, so it was mostly night. And I was looking kind of northwest, and I saw this dot of light along just above the horizon, and then it went behind a tree, and I could kind of see it moving behind the tree, and then it didn't come out the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, now it wasn't a lightning bug because it was, again, it was in a straight line.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could have been, maybe it was a satellite that went in a, away from my point of view, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that I could see. But I didn't know what it was, and I was really excited, you know, because yeah. I was probably about 12 or 13. I was like, oh, UFO.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So awesome. Cool. Yeah. Well, dude, that was so. And what you said, that was probably what, around 90?
That would have been
80s, late 80s.
Yeah, it might. Yeah, I'm gonna say it was either 89 or 90, because I don't think I was in college yet. I think I was still in high school.
Okay, so that would have been around the same time, I believe, that Mark saw his.
Okay.
When he was in the Weatherford.
That's right. Yeah.
And then I saw mine. There around 94, so
yeah, yeah.
And then I saw some other lights in the sky more towards the Crescent area,
mm-hmm.
Piedmont Crescent area, in 95 or 96.
Hmm.
They were different. I saw, I don't know, did I tell this? I don't know if I told this, but I was out on a dirt road with my friend Dirk, and we were just chilling because it was summer, and like everybody else is like all our other group of friends, I think they were on dates or something, so he and I were just chilling out there, and we were looking out just in the sky, and I was telling my alien ear story, my whole thing, and while we were doing that, I was looking out, and I see these three white dots. And they're moving, and they come, and they're moving really fast. And they kind of come towards, they're coming north. We're facing south, and they're coming north, but they're still way far off in the distance. And one comes in from, like, the west, and then two come in from the east, and they kind of meet up. And then one shoots straight up. And the other two go straight east, back east, and like at a very, very high rate of speed.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's just like, whoa. Yeah. And then Dirk started freaking out. He's like, oh my God, dude, they're coming to get us. They're coming to get us. I was like, man, cool. Chill out, dude. If they were coming to get us, we wouldn't have seen them.
Yeah. So. They would have got you. They would have got you.
Right.
They said, get in, loser. We're doing butt stuff.
That's great. Yeah. Well, and that part of the world, too, is real, real dark, real desolate. The night sky is brilliant, beautiful, you know. So
yeah, because because the light pollution just isn't there.
Yeah. So you can pick up those things, you know. Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEO. -weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, that's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors. Well, all right. Well, let's see. Do you have anything else? Any other jarred memories?
The only other weird, you know, kind of paranormal type of thing I can think of is, you know, one time I do think that I felt the, or not really felt, I smelled the presence of my dead grandpa who had, gosh, let's see, I want to say he had been gone for, probably about 7 to 8 years at this point. So this would have been 2003. So this would have been about 15 years ago. And so we had moved back from Kansas City. We had moved to Oklahoma City and Robin was going to law school. Mm-hmm. And we were living in the Village, and we were just kind of just hanging out. The house we were renting had actually a pretty cool little deck, and so we were just hanging out on it. And this was like, you know, October, just talking about stuff. And I don't remember a lot about the conversation. I know that the conversation wasn't just small talk. Like, it was a little bit deep, and, you know, we were kind of, you know, talking about the meaning of life or whatever. And, but I got this kind of a wind, and it was a warm wind, and, you know, and it was a cool night. So I got a little bit of a warm wind, and in that wind, I smelled menthol cigarettes and wheat dust.
Wow.
And, you know, two things that, you know, especially the wheat dust, you know, it was just not the time of year for that smell.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say, you know, he quit smoking later on in his life, but man, he smoked Salem's forever, you know, mm-hmm. for as long as I ever knew him or anything like that. And just to get that, just that, you know, little bit of a warmth with that, it was just unmistakable to me. That, you know, there was Grandpa. Grandpa was here to tell me something.
Wow.
And I do feel like, you know, that sensation erased everything about the conversation away mm-hmm. from me. But my sense is, as I think about that, you know, it was, I do remember that it was germane to the conversation, you know, like it was kind of that you know, affirmation that, hey, we were talking about the right thing, or, you know, or you know, it's going to be okay, or it was such a surreal moment, and it was really short, but was very definitely was strong and clear, you know. And so it was, and you know, I told Robin about it as I was experiencing it, and she's like, oh wow, you know, and she totally was like I was. She's like, yeah, no, your grandpa was just here. Wow. And so yeah, it was pretty wild, because she didn't smell it and she didn't feel the warmth.
Wow.
So
that's even more interesting, you know. Yeah, smell is a powerful thing. We've talked mm-hmm. We've talked about that, I think, quite a bit. And that's
especially the memories. So
yeah that's heavy duty.
Yep,
that is, man. That gave me They gave me, you know, some chills, but, you know, not bad chills.
It was a very comforting thing. Yeah, it wasn't a spooky thing at all. I mean, it was very, very comforting in the moment, and it's comforting to think about now. And yeah, it was pretty wild.
Wow. Cool. I've had an experience like that, and when you tell somebody that, it's kind of like, if they've never experienced something like that, you can't really describe that feeling. But
yeah,
if you've had it happen, it's pretty remarkable and amazing, you know.
Yeah.
I don't discount that at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that, dude.
You bet.
That's a really special story, man. That's really, you know, heartwarming and everything. And so well, I'm all the clipped. So So, cool. Awesome. Well, again, man, I thank you for coming on and sharing these stories and being a gracious guest. We are grateful.
Bet.
You are gracious. we appreciate all your, all the back, you know, behind the scenes, help that you've given us over the year that we've been working on this now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you bet.
And so you also are a long time podcaster, and you've had several. And so, give the people some of that.
Well, I have been podcasting for 11 years now, and I've done a ton of different shows. At one time, let's see, gosh, what it was. About 2014, I tried to start my own podcasting network called Misfit Radio. None of the shows on the network are alive and well anymore, but the network is still there, so you can listen to any of the shows. If you go to misfitrad.io, so it, you know, it spells Misfit Radio. There's I think about 12, 13 different shows. And so on there are three of the first shows that I worked on, starting with the Yet to Be Named podcast. Then that transitioned into the Cocktail Napkin, which was a video podcast. And let me tell you, if you ever think that it would be fun to actually turn this into a video podcast, I'm going to tell you right now, don't do it.
We don't want to do that, man.
That was so hard to do.
Yeah, no. Nobody wants to see these. Yeah, nobody wants to see my face. It's tough. We draw the line, sir. We draw the line.
Okay. Well. Good. I'm a cautionary tale for that. Just don't even go down that path.
Yeah.
And because I really got tired of doing the video podcast, I shut that down and then started a new one called The Shakes, and then also did one that only has like three or four episodes called Oh My Pod, which was actually a prototype for the one that I am doing now, which is called Uncle Weepy's Depression Dungeon. And so,
so tell us, because that's such a cheery title. Tell us. Tell us what that's about.
Well, we started out billing Uncle Weepy's Depression Dungeon as the internet's least helpful self-help podcast. But then so we would start talking about our own personal anxieties and depression and just things that we deal with from day to day. And then the conversation would turn to whatever we had been watching on Netflix or on Hulu. And so it really became this weird mishmash of all sorts of different things. And so now, instead of billing it as the least helpful self-help, which it's really, I mean, let's face it, it still is absolutely the least helpful of that type of podcast. It's now the podcast that is about nothing yet everything at the same time. And so, nice. And so we have got three people on the show. It's myself, along with Joy Moeller here in Kansas City. She was a co-host of The Shakes with me, and then we have Paul Armstrong, who is in Cincinnati. And so Paul and I started the show, and then we brought Joy on because we were like, it's just a couple of old dudes just talking about nothing.
Yeah.
We need a female point of view. Uh-huh. And so we brought her in, and it really has brought some new life to the show. That's so it's a trip to listen to. We just tackle different subjects every week. We would love to start having guests on. We record late at night on Wednesdays, and so unless we can figure out some time to make it into a little more palatable time for somebody to want to call in as a guest, especially East Coast people. Yeah. What? I'm going to call in at 10 o'clock at night? No, yeah. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we're trying to figure that one out. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun show. So if you like listening to people, talk about other weird aspects of their life that aren't necessarily spooky, paranormal or hinky in any way, that might be the show for you.
Awesome. Awesome, man.
Well, yeah. We're definitely gonna check that out and give them some rating reviews and love and all that stuff too.
Yeah. So yeah, cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on once again. It's good seeing you.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've hung out.
And, yeah, it has been.
So we'll have to somehow figure out a remedy to that sometime. So
yeah, that is true. That is true. Well, let me know. I mean, if this beer thing comes to fruition, let me know, because we owe Dad a trip to Oklahoma, and so
cool.
We'll try to schedule that in, because that would be awesome. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely let you know when we get that up and running. So we'll, I think we're gonna make this a thing.
okay,
and make it happen one way or another. So
yeah.
Even you know, I just even if we're just sitting around Barry's garage,
yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. No, I think that yeah, that'd be good too. Yeah. That'd be good
I guess,
too.
I guess we can maybe we should let the people know now what we're talking about is as you know, Barry is the brewmaster, a brewmaster at the Enid Brewing Company. That's the correct name, yes?
That's correct. Yep, Enid Brewing Co.
Yeah, and they are, at the time of this recording, going to be opening very soon, any day now, right?
Yep, it'll be St. Patrick's Day week. Right. Yep.
So that will probably be, they'll be open by the time this hits the air, I would imagine. Yeah. But we have, you know, we want to try and at some point a live experimental kind of podcast recording thing where we... you know, with an association either directly with the brewing company, either directly with them at a facility that there, or even like I said, just in Barry's garage. But we want to do a special episode called "What's Your Beer Story?" And so everybody can we can have people come on yeah. and they can tell live to the audience their true. Funny, crazy drinking stories, you know, those great here, hold my beers or other stuff, yeah. anything like that. So, and then have a live audience and just have fun like that. And of course, people will be imbibing in the great beers brewed by the Enid Brewing Company. So
absolutely. Get the people involved, you know, it'll be
so we'll fun. We'll be letting you know as that develops further. So.
Yeah, I'll be excited to hear that. And by the way, I looked this up on Misfit Radio on The Shakes, episode 59, titled "That's Not Who I Am" with special guest Adam Beebe.
I thought that he was on one of your podcasts. That's awesome.
That was my first pod appearance.
That's great.
And, yeah. So. And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone and there was a policeman on the other side. And he said, "We've tracked the phone call and it's coming from inside the house."
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane. But there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV and she turns them around and their face has SpaghettiOs.
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy? Oh,
the hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they start off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere. Barry, what do you think that people find the most far-fetched? Ghost stories or aliens as being the more unbelievable?
I would say aliens.
You know, I would agree with that probably too. Because I think with ghosts, there's a part of the belief system that is abound throughout the world. And we want to have some kind of assurance of some form of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with aliens, it's unknown for sure. It's mm-hmm. completely unknown. We have only our imagination. We don't have a lot of universal stories that we agree upon that these things exist, maybe.
To believe in aliens is to believe that we are not the sole existence of this world, which goes against a lot of belief systems.
It definitely does. But you know, the great thing about what we're doing here is we are open to all your stories about ghosts or aliens or anything in between or anything outside of. We're not here to judge. We're here to just talk. And to share. And we don't want you to think you're crazy because you're not.
Well, so we had another UFO story, another yep. UFO sighting.
Connected to our own, so in
cool.
a way.
So cool.
You know, and as Jeremy was describing that, and you said as well that you thought that these lights were connected to a circular object. And I guess, you know, I never really thought about it. Mm-hmm. I just saw it as a, you know, this triangular of light, triangle of
uh-huh.
lights.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily that it's connected. I didn't even think about it other than it could be. I mean, you know, just I didn't think about the definitive distinct shape
right.
of it, which is interesting to now reflect back upon. But it was so dark that I do not recall yeah. seeing a distinct shape. So
well, also me thinking back, my sighting took place maybe a couple of years before his did, mm-hmm. but either then or around the same time. Because you know he's talking about the late 80s, and I thought that mine was more toward the mid 80s, but again in the same vicinity, you know, 30 yeah. miles or so.
Yeah.
So
very very close area there, and you know, I mean, it's just it's a head scratcher, you know. It's mm-hmm. it's very interesting, and it fits my definition UFO because right. we certainly don't know what any of those were.
That's right.
And or in the ones I saw too, you know, over by Weatherford, but the ones over towards Piedmont Crescent area, mm-hmm. that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you yeah. know, but that's again, like you were saying, there's so much, this big sky out there,
right?
You know, and you know, a lot of people who are not from the plains, or not from, especially Oklahoma, but I would imagine all the farmland, the wheat belt right up there going north. There's I know people go out there who are from the coast or other place, mountains and other, and they look at it and they're just like, it's so flat. But to me, there's something beautiful about that because yeah. once it gets to the night, there's so much sky
right.
to look at, you yeah. know, and it's really, really cool. It's really beautiful.
It is.
And, you know, it's not all blocked out like yeah. when you have trees. So. Yeah.
Right. And then he also had a story about his grandfather visiting, which I thought was really nice, man. That was a sweet story.
That really, like, I mean, it touched me, man. It really just, like, I don't know. It's just this. It affected me in such a, and it was such a beautiful little tale, beautiful thing in and out, and just such a nice short little sweet story.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he shared it, you know, because mm-hmm. one, it was just a great story, and you know, and just the neatness of how like the distinct combination of those two smells.
Yeah.
Immediately, you know, you do.
Right. Right. Yeah. It was cool. It was cool. And yeah, so appreciate him coming on and sharing that stuff with us.
So yeah, so if you got a sweet short little story, or you got a weird long epic, or whatever you've got, man, we want to hear it, and we want you to come on and share it with us. We would love to talk to you about it and get to know you if we don't know you, and catch up with you if we do, and just make that nice human connection that Weirdsville brings out in all of us. So
absolutely.
Well, cool deal. Thanks again, Jeremy, and we'll be talking to you soon, and we'll let you know about what your beer story as it develops, and we'll let all of you out there know about it and contact us, you know, as it develops. We'll be getting things together and where it's going to be and what's going to go down and all that stuff, and you know, maybe we'll even have a t-shirt design for it. So yeah, that'll be cool. That'll be fun. Thanks for listening. We will catch you next week. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.